Let's go ahead and hand out the teaching notes this morning. I'm really excited about having this kind of time because we're going to do something special today. If you're visiting with us today, I tried to kind of let those up front know this is a very unique day, and we're going to be doing something along these lines for the next several weeks because of where the Lord is leading us. And I want us to... We had a council meeting Thursday. I got up and I asked the guys to pray for me. Apparently they got really serious right away because the very next morning I was having my devotions and the Lord spoke very loudly and very profoundly to me. And he said, "It is impossible for us to fail." And I changed. It's, you know what, a word, you can walk on a word. You can walk in a word. And he said, "It is impossible." And it was like, resonated, and it's like, wow. It was like everything that hell's been pushing down my on my mind just evaporated. Heather and I have been kind of on the tip of the spear, just taking hit after hit after hit. Because when every time we make a we inch forward further to get into the inhabit that place downtown, it's like these... I think Paul called them the beast of Ephesus. These spiritual forces, this stuff. And you need a word to overcome this stuff. And the Lord said, "It is impossible." And he said, "For us." I love that. "It is impossible for us to fail." Say it with me. "It is impossible for us to fail." Let's say it again. "It is impossible for us to fail." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I look up a couple of scriptures relating to that. 2 Corinthians 2:14, I put it in, I think it's in your, no, it's not here. Listen, where is it? It's up top. Okay, good. "But thanks be to God who in Christ," everybody say always.
Always.
Once again, always.
Always.
"Always leads us in triumphal procession." Always leads us. The Lord always leads us in triumphal procession. Always. Always leads us in triumphal procession. "It is impossible for us to fail because Jesus always leads us in triumphal procession." Always. "It is impossible for us to fail because Jesus always leads us in triumphal procession." The adversary wants to come and try to get you to doubt somehow. How many of you know? But always, 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 Jesus always leads us. And one of the verses I put here, Colossians 2:15, "He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." He has put them down. So it doesn't matter what's down here. It's just that we, like I said a little while ago, we kind of need to hold hands when we cross the street. Sometimes you just need more prayer. You just need, and then you need to hear and listen. How many of you have shot your mouth off way before God spoke and end up in trouble? And the Lord requires us to be still and listen and then hear him and then move. Because you can walk on the authority of the Word of God. Isn't that right? And when we're dealing with things like we're dealing with, you need his voice to speak to you and allow that to resonate inside. And when he said that to me, everything shifted. There's another verse here, Romans 8:31-32 says, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" I love this verse here, Proverbs 21:31. "The horse is made ready for the battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord." It doesn't matter what you do and how you saddle up. The horse is made ready for the battle. We do all we can do, but that's who the victory really comes from. That's when David was facing Goliath, and he said, "Battle's not mine. Battle's not mine. Battle's the Lord's," right? And so let's say it once again, it is impossible for us to fail. It is impossible for us to fail. I felt like the Lord was saying that. Now, if you take your center page there, I want to read this real quick. We started with this question. This is a little while back. What is the goal God is leading us to do that is so big if he does not come through, we would fail? 4 years ago, we gathered together and came into agreement that we would purchase the gatherings at 216 Monroe. The call is to go and serve the needs of the city, God has continually given us a place of favor in the hearts of city council members, county commissioners, city manager, city planner, a judge, Main Street, and all who understand that the gatherings is a treasure not only to our county but also to the state of West Virginia. Even before we have moved in to have Sunday services and to completely inhabit the property spiritually and practically, we have used it wisely as a blessing to our community, which has brought significant gratitude out of the hearts of many people. In the past, present, and in the future, God has ordained both the sanctuary and the rest of the facility to be a place of inspiration. There is an easy access to God's presence, just like places with an open heaven. I should say, because it is a place with an open heaven. Our worship and prayer times have pleased the heart of God as He continued to pour vision and encouragement into our hearts. This has been a long haul and a great learning experience, and now we're getting close to inhabiting our new ministry site. Praise the Lord. It does not mean that everything is complete, but it will be complete enough to enter, grow, and see the release of blessings God has promised when we enter the Promised Land. There is a financial push needed to inhabit the gatherings. Ecclesiastes 3:1 declares that for everything there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven. One of those times is a time to build. Let's give and build together. So we're going to talk about that today. And like I said, if you're visiting with us, this is kind of a unique time this morning because it's a vision casting time. And I'm really doing great on the time, so I can slow down and not talk so fast. I remember 4 years ago we were sitting and we were at the altar praying. It was about 16 or 12 or 16, something like that. It was a New Year's Eve service, and I was there with the young people, and we were just praying the New Year in. And I'll never forget being at the altar at the gatherings, and the Holy Spirit said, "You are an answer to the prayers that were prayed at this altar." Now, what are you going to do with that? When the Lord says you are an answer to the prayers that were prayed at the very altar that you're kneeling at, God knows how to really get in your head and mess you up for His purpose. And we were on I'm not sure if it was a Thursday night or Friday night, but we were doing one of our breakthrough worship and prayer, and I was playing, that psalmic thing came on me, and I was playing the guitar, and the Lord showed me the altar. I was sitting there looking at the altar, and the Lord began to prophetically declare into me, and I started to sing in it, and He said this: "Do you know how many people I've touched this altar over the years? Can you imagine how many people I've touched at this altar over the years? Think about that." This is the Lord talking to me. I'm singing this. "Now, would you like to help me do it again? Would you help me touch more people's lives with my love and my power? Would you restore this place so I can touch those in need at this altar?" I don't know what it is about the Lord, but He likes that place. I've taken people in there, and you just stand there, and the Holy Spirit comes on them, and they start to get all teary-eyed. I just say, "God lives here." You probably encountered that yourself. Just go in there and sense His Spirit. And there's prophetic words rising today from major prophetic voices all across the land talking about God's got hubs or God's got places, God's got all kinds of things going on, and you have to look in the realm of the spirit. You have to think, God, you got to get on the wings of the eagle and go up. You got to see something different than what you're looking at in the physical. You say, like Gideon, when they got rid of all, we're down to 300. You know, we're down to less than that. You know what I mean? But I'm saying you got to embrace, Lord, what are you saying? Because not everybody has a spiritual mind. People do have carnal minds. Have you struggled with it? Rationalizing everything on the basis of what you see and what you think you know. And how's that working for you? And is there a price tag on walking the spiritual walk and going God's way? Yeah. And are you tempted to give up sometimes and back out and think, pastors, they're quitting left and right. Oh, man, that's just amazing. They had no idea the level of warfare. I'm glad we were equipped. It doesn't mean that hell doesn't show up and say, try to bark us down. Are you here with me? And the Lord said, "It's impossible." See, the hell was just working me over. And finally, the Lord says, "I had enough of this. You know what? It's impossible for us to fail. I'm going to run the dog off your property. Whatever is nipping at you, I'm going to just run it off. It is impossible, son, for you to fail. It's impossible for New Hope to fail. It's impossible." And that's what he put in my spirit. I love it. He makes it easy on you when he speaks to you. He affirms it when you talk about it. You resonate in your heart that the Lord has said, it's not emotion that's driving this. It's the Holy Spirit's doing something in you when I'm talking, right? Because he said it, I didn't. But I'm repeating it. I'm a little parrot. I'm saying what the Lord has said. And he's serious about this because there's souls that he loves. You know, for so long we've been people who just, heal me, Lord, heal me, Lord, heal me, Lord. The Lord says, you're healed now. And I got some other folks out there. Can we, like, think beyond you now? So number one, our fill-in. How in the world are we going to partner? We're going to do this. There's 3 points. Partner with God. We're partnering with God. Partner with God. And to affirm this, as soon as you write that in, if you wouldn't mind turning your paper over and look at the first top half. I wrote these things down. These are things I felt like the Lord is saying, this is how you're partnering with me. God has directed us to restore and inhabit a building that he has used for his glory over the past generations to be a blessing to the city. I want to just mention this for a moment. We were in there last Friday. It's really an interesting environment because the generations are resonating in the past 120 years still resonate. And so you can sing a contemporary song. I can sing contemporary songs in here and it feels right. If I whip out Love Lifted Me, it doesn't quite have the same effect. But in that building, when I sing Love Lifted Me, you feel like everybody that was in the building sang that song with you. It's just there. Isn't that amazing? And we'll get to that point here in a minute. Number two, he has sought a people that will put him first, love him with all that they are, and seek him on behalf of his desires to bless others. Number three, God has set himself to release his presence into our midst and into our town to bring about the work of his spirit to bless and restore those who live here. He wants people to know that he is for them and not against them, and most people do not understand that. They believe a lie, and there's a veil over their hearts, and he wants to reach and get to him. Number four, he has need of a place where his glorious presence is hosted to bring forth his anointing to bless, save, heal, restore, and deliver the people of this town. And number five, the gatherings is a historic place of God's presence. Amen. It is an ancient well that God has instructed us to redig. So turn your paper over. This blows me away. This verse that's on your paper here under this point, we've always seen this as more of a abstract or metaphor and not literal. But this is a literal prophetic word to this church. Isaiah 58:12. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. It is impossible for us to fail. And look at this. And you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. That is extraordinary. And then it says, you shall be called repairers of the breach. Look on the wall over here, guys. And restorer of streets to dwell in. The Lord just says, let me take you on a little walk. Do you realize that this scripture was the foundation of this ministry before I arrived? And God has this on his mind, yes. And he wants to do yes. This. We thought we brought it. No, they all know that was their scripture way before we got here. And the Lord's saying, I'm going to fulfill that. I'm going to fulfill that. It's impossible for you to fail because I'm going to fulfill it. Literal streets. I just feel like standing here and praising the Lord for a while. That wouldn't upset the message or the Lord, would it? Let's go ahead and just thank him. Lord, we thank you and praise you. Praise you, Lord, for your eternal word. Eternal word. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And this next verse, Jeremiah 29:7, I just felt a little while back the Lord saying, how I do this? And Jeremiah 29 is an amazing thing. It's because it's about when the Israelites went into captivity. And he said, this is how it's going to work. And he says, seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. And that's why the Lord, I think the Lord's done this timing thing, because it just, you know, it's like, how come we're not in there? How come we're not in there? And this ongoing battle and fight and timing thing. You know what's happened in the meantime? Favor. It's extraordinary. Dan Weber, city council member, thank you guys so much for going down there. That's a treasure of our county, indeed a treasure of our state. County Commissioner Randy Elliott, I cannot thank you enough. Judge Alloy, hey, can we have our drug court Thanksgiving dinner in here? And maybe you guys put together something to help all these addicts. Come on, guys. Hosting Main Street and all these projects that have gone out to bless the city over and over and over and over and over, all this stuff, hosted right out of that place. And we haven't even gotten in there yet. We have a little bit. Feast of Seven Fishes has been a phenomenal thing. That has opened the doors. We have more people. Natalie Tennant ran for Senate. She was in there taking pictures of the Christmas tree. It's like just everybody loving that place. She's our lieutenant governor or something, right? Secretary of State? I forget. There is a spirit that the Lord, it's not us. It's just the nature of the history of the place. Because Francis Pierpont, the founder of our state, was his church. Historic and spiritually speaking, there is a weight that God, there's a favor and a weight that's sitting there. And God says, I'm telling you guys to go down there. And then, let's look at point number two. Walk in the authority of God's word. Because you have to have God's word. And he says, as you go forth, and he, a little while back, he just moved on my heart. It's been, hey guys, look. I've never done any of this before. I'm doing the best I know how. Sometimes I wonder, did God get the wrong guy? That is the average conversation when God asks somebody to do something. You should have seen Moses. You should have seen Gideon. Everybody goes through this. I think you got the wrong guy. I'm pretty much certain of it. And God says, well, when you get there, I'll show you that it wasn't the case, that you were the guy, but you got to go through it all. I'm not into that. How many of you just really like to be in control of your life and not like give it all to God? Oh, my gosh. Obedience is a bear to your flesh, I tell you. And now we're in a place where we need to walk in the authority. And this is the authority that the Lord spoke. This is the word he spoke when there's a miracle dimension of God's doing that will be released when we cross over, when we start to have the service. There's a miracle. God said there's a miracle dimension. He took us to that passage in Joshua 3:13. When the priests crossed over the Jordan. And this is the verse, says, when the soles of the feet, everybody say soles of the feet. This was the word picture. And many of these discussions are through, many of these revelational moments, not many, but a couple of them, are through conversations with my spiritual dad, Larry Titus. And I'll come to a place and I'll have a conversation with him and the Lord will crystallize something. This was one of those where after a conversation with him, he didn't give me the scripture, but when I called him up and shared this with him, he said, that's it. And the Lord was saying, when the soles of the feet of the priest bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand up in a heap. And the Lord is basically saying, the miraculous doesn't start until you get in the building. But the miraculous starts when you get in. And I'm going, I don't even understand it. No. And here's the point about obedience. You don't have to understand it. You have to do it. And when you try to understand it, that's where Joyce Myers talks about the rationalization is taken out of your mind and you get stuck because you're stuck in your brain. It's like, okay. And there's been how many prophetic words? We brought Mike Arter in there. Mike's from Thailand. He steps in that building and boom, he prays and prophetically speaks everything that God's been telling us. It doesn't matter who you bring in there. They say the same things. It's like a Geiger counter. They prophesy the way the river flowing into the city. All that, everybody says the same stuff. It's amazing. You just, any half spiritual prophetic person, they all say the same thing. Guillermo from Columbia came in, spoke the same. Everybody says, it's the word of the Lord. And then me being me, needing help all the time, a couple of Wednesday nights ago, Dave Perkey shared a word. And the word was about the four lepers and the four lepers that were standing at the gate. And there was a famine. There were the Syrians had laid siege on the city, and it would deteriorate. Everything had deteriorated so greatly in the city that there was even cannibalism going on because they were starving to death. And I think Elijah shows up and prophesies something, and then these lepers are in the gate. And this is what the lepers in the gate say. This is starting with verse 3 of 2 Kings 7. They say, "Now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, 'Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there.'" And they're talking about going backwards. "If we sit here, we'll also die. So now come, let's go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we'll live. If they kill us, we'll die." So they're like this. They're saying, basically, we're going to die if we stay here. We're going to die if we go backwards. And the Holy Spirit's saying, you'll die if you stay here. How many of you feel like pretty much lepers don't have it all together? So it doesn't matter how much you have it together. Is it, will you not stay here? Will you not go backwards? Will you move forward? And when they move forward, these guys shuffle along. And the story goes, apparently God used their shuffling. He magnified it because all the Syrians ran away because they thought a mighty army was coming after them. And there was only four feet shuffling. God likes to amplify 4 feet shuffling. And they get so they think an army is thundering down upon them. And they all flee. And so the four lepers, they all show up. And there's massive abundance. And the Lord's saying, if you'll just get down there, there's massive abundance. There's this place between when God says something and when it comes to pass. There's a prophetic and there's a promise fulfilled. And then between there's this process. And you got to shuffle. You got to go. You got to move. Are you there? And then the last, I think I put this in the notes, yeah. Haggai 2:19. This one, if I slow down and read it, I'll start crying. Because the Lord said that there's a glory that was there before. But the glory is going to bring more glorious than the glory that's ever been there before. That the latter glory will be greater than the former glory. And there are people hungering for peace. And they walk in and says, I declare that there will be peace. So number 3, give and seek the Lord. But I want us to look at these two things. Number 1, as Exodus 25. I have 1-8, but I have 1 and 2 on your paper there. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel that they take me for me a contribution. For every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive a contribution from me. And so here's the point. You know, people come, there's been so many, this is how I think about it. I have no desire to manipulate anybody for money at any time, anywhere. I am not that guy. I'm not that guy. But I will obey Jesus. I'm that guy. So the Lord says, I'll make it easy on you. You ask them to give. And I'm standing over here and we're doing a worship rehearsal and I see the wind of the Spirit. It's like, you know, I'm a seer type guy. And I see the wind of the Spirit. And the Lord says, I'm going to blow in and I'm going to talk to everybody. It takes the burden right off me. And this is how we do it around here. I ask you to ask God. Now it's all up to you. I ask you to ask God to speak to you. And you obey Him. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with you and God. I ask you to ask God as He moves on your heart. And I put all my confidence in God. He says, it's impossible for us to fail. Now, I will say this. Gordy, when we were at the last council meeting, before this one, we had talked about this, and this was your idea, buddy, and everybody lit up. Gary and Ted and Paul, everybody like there. I had never, they all talking about this, that there was a level of faith in that council meeting we never encountered before. Just, and I needed them to be full of faith. I needed it because their comments were, you and Heather have been at the tip of the spear taking all the hits. And we want you to know we believe the people that as we present this to the congregation that He's going to do a work and there's going to be an increase of things and a forward momentum financially for us to get in there. You know, when you start getting down in the trenches, you need people with a gift of faith. And you need people that won't shoot a hole in you with doubt and standing there looking like you're an idiot, you know? And so, you know, it's funny. I read this whole thing. I'm going to finish this. I read this thing where if you're broken and you're vulnerable, you don't feel good. When you're not flourishing in your life and you feel vulnerable, but yet when you're whole and you're healed and you're vulnerable, you still don't feel that great. But the perception from other people is that strength. The person doing it doesn't feel that. But the perception is. And the thought that finished was, when those who are flourishing show their vulnerability, those who are truly vulnerable begin to flourish. Wow. And there's a whole city in need. Jesus needs healthy people to say, I came from a place just like you, doubting, trust issues, everything out the kazoo, addicted, all kinds of brokenness, and Jesus has brought me along, and he'll help you. Amen? Is it right? So, then, I'm not going to read this, just that verse that's there, I'm not going to go too much into it. This is on another piece of paper we're going to handle. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. I have put down on my paper here the entire, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15, the entire time when Paul was receiving that offering to go be a blessing. But this is what the Lord, I want to get to this because you can turn over your paper on the back and we're going to finish with this and then Nick will come up. The Lord spoke to me on Wednesday night. And I say that, I'm sitting there and this is how it happened. You know, when the Lord says a word to you, he'll say a word and then suddenly you'll understand. You know how he'll say something and then understanding flows? And he said the word fallow. And when the Lord said the word fallow, that verse in Hosea came to my heart. But I didn't understand the fullness of it, but I did understand this much at that time. That the climate of the world will condition you to be desensitized. Because of the spirit of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. Okay, so there's a decent, and the Lord was saying, I'm going to, he said, now look at the verse. The Lord says, look at the verse. And I saw four steps that lead to literally breakthrough abundance. He says, sow for yourselves righteousness. And the Lord's saying, your participation in calling your congregation to sow is this seed that will begin to break any desensitizing of the world. Because we need to be a part of this vision now. And then he says, then you will reap steadfast love. So I'm inviting you for an openness to a participation in the deeper love of God as we sow. And then he says, now, break up the fallow ground and allow the Lord to resensitize you for a new work of the Spirit. And then he says, for it's time to seek the Lord. Those are the four steps: sowing, reaping, breaking up fallow ground, and set aside time to seek the Lord, which is intimacy, being in his word, being a fresh time. He says, and this is the result of it. I'm going to cause rain to come. And rain is a picture of bestowing abundance. And righteousness is a word for putting things in right order. I want to cause there to come a rain in a right order. Thank you. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And let's go rejoicing. Amen. Love you.